This week's episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers rents premium strollers in the Orlando area. Whether it be a single, double, or special needs, they can help you out. Kingdom Strollers is also Disney approved, which means they can deliver directly to your hotel and pick it up when you're done. The next time you're headed to the Orlando area, don't pay extra to fly with your stroller. Save that room in your trunk for those extra pair of tennis shoes you'll know you'll need. Contact our friends over at Kingdom Strollers at www.kingdomstrollers.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 159 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back for another show. This week, we have a special topic brought up to us by one of our listeners. Before we get to that, though, let me introduce who we have on this week. First, we have Jen. Hey, Jen, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been on.
I know.
For the best reasons, though, you made it back to Walt Disney World for another trip with the kids, I heard.
Yes, our first, you know, people laugh because we go to Disney destinations often. We've kind of taken up cruising and we've been to Disneyland and Alani. But I'm like, you know, we haven't actually taken a regular like week-ish or more Walt Disney World vacation with the kids in so long that my four-year-old literally did not know there were four parks. And I was like, wow, by the time your sisters were four, they'd been like seven times. So it was very fun, though. It actually worked out really neatly because it was almost as if he was experiencing a lot for the first time. And he's such a fun age for that. And the girls enjoyed that. And there's a ton they haven't seen. So it was a really great trip. We were sick half of it. And that's what I tell people, like, it was still so good, which just speaks so much to the, you know, what we all know of as like just being there in the Disney bubble. It's better than being at home.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Along with us this week, we also have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks, Ed. Glad to be back. Glad to hear everybody.
Oh, yeah.
We have a great topic, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. But I tell you what, before we get to the topic, I got to get back with Jen for a couple more questions about the latest trip. Now, you were down there last week. It was as close as that, right?
Yeah, we got back exactly a week ago.
Oh, awesome. Now, you were over there for the changeover from Halloween to Christmas. And so that was pretty cool, I'm sure.
It was. You know, we've talked about on the show before how it used to be overnight everything changed and now it takes weeks. And you know, I think as I was down there, we went to the Halloween party on the 30th and we went to some of the resort offerings for Halloween night, the 31st. So we were in the Magic Kingdom on the 30th. And then by the 1st or 2nd of November, it really did feel like it changed overnight. And I said, wow, maybe they've gone back to that. You know, we were wrong. They really do that overnight. It's mostly just the Magic Kingdom. I mean, Epcot is still full Food and Wine Festival until, I guess, this weekend, just recently. There was virtually nothing at Epcot. No music, no Christmas music, I should say. Whereas the Magic Kingdom felt very changed over. The rest of it, I think, will happen over the course of a few weeks. And even the Magic Kingdom felt very, very, I mean, we walked up to the train station and could hear Christmas music blasting into the wreaths. And, you know, I was like, wow, it is Christmas already. But then the next couple of days that we went, we saw, you know, the additional decorations on Main Street, the tree was up. And so I think it's kind of a little of both. It does change pretty drastically overnight, but then more and more is added throughout, which is cool. The resort seemed to not really have anything yet. We left on the 7th and there really wasn't much changeover for the resorts yet, except for like merchandise. So
I want to back you up for a second because you talked about Halloween. You went to the Halloween party on the 30th.
Yes.
Not on the 31st.
Yes.
How was it crowded? How was the Halloween party?
You know, it wasn't too bad. I thought it would be really crowded. You know, we tend to do, my kids are little and they're early risers, so we don't stay till midnight. We actually stayed until about, we were on the ferry as Wishes was going off at 10 o'clock. So that's really late for my family. So we don't ride rides during, but I did notice they were, you know, 10 minutes, not quite walk-ons, but definitely not long, which is what you'd expect from a party. Character lines were decent. The Seven Dwarfs, interestingly, started meeting at 6 or 6:30, which was obviously before the the party guests were the only ones there. So their line by the time we got back there at 5 was already very long, which is pretty typical.
Where were they this year?
They were in the former Fast Pass location, then charging area and Storybook Circus.
Got it.
Yeah. And they had one of those backdrops.
I think that's where Jack Skellington was recently. So they moved Jack Skellington.
Yeah, and it was a really great spot for them, actually. They had a nice, like, backdrop set up, and there was plenty of room, like, wide. So if you walk up to the tent, they were over to, like, along the left wall. So there was plenty of room for nice photos there, and then a lot more room as well for the queue. Of course, it went out beyond that. But the rest of the characters were not bad. We waited very little for Cruella de Vil was our first, and then for Jane and Turk and Tarzan. And, you know, it was one of those things where as long as you caught most of those characters 5 or 10 minutes before they were going to show back up, then the lines weren't bad at all. So that was nice. It really didn't seem that crowded, but it was very crowded both before and after. So it might have just been like a relief. Whereas if, you know, if we went on a previously slow time that don't exist anymore, it might have felt more crowded than I expected, but it was so much less crowded than the daytime. It was really nice. And our weather was perfect like the whole time. So I can't complain there.
Nice.
So
nice.
I've done the Halloween party before, but something you said that I've never done and I want to hear more about is visiting the resorts on the 31st. Tell me what's the thinking behind that? What goes on?
Well, yeah, actually, so last year was our first year doing that. And, you know, it's interesting. We have probably stayed at moderate resorts 3 times in our life and twice were over Halloween. So I only have that quote unquote category of resorts to share. But I think it's pretty typical, except they were less efficient this year. I don't know if it was different. Last year, we got off of the cruise on the 30th and just stayed overnight. Or maybe we actually maybe got off on the 31st, but we were only there for one night and ended up doing Halloween at Port Orleans Riverside. And they had a costume contest and a dance party and characters. I mean, we had probably, I remember specifically Mickey, Minnie, Chip, Dale, Goofy. Most of them were like in court jester kind of French Quarter-esque stuff, which was very fun. Which is like, you know, unique costumes that you don't see elsewhere and that fit the resort really well, which was cool. And then they had trick-or-treating stations and just quite a bit going on. That was a lot of fun. At Caribbean Beach this year, advertised things were, I think it just said something like a courtyard bash. So it didn't have any specifics. It turned out to be the dance party. And I believe there was a costume parade, but I didn't actually see that happen. So I'm not, they told us it was right before trick-or-treating, and trick-or-treating this year, again, I don't know if it was the year or the resort. It was kind of a disaster. So if you are familiar with Caribbean Beach at all, so there's all the villages and then there's an island out in the middle that kind of connects different sections and has a playground and different sitting areas. All of the trick-or-treating was on that island. So I'm not sure if it was a matter of big bottlenecks or not enough room to move about, because we were at Port Orleans last year. You could kind of go anywhere. You could go to the 8 or 10 stations throughout the area, throughout the resort. And it wasn't quite so organized, which is actually a good thing because not everyone was in the same place. We stood in line about 20 minutes and moved about 10 feet. And there were probably, I don't know, 400 people in front of us to get over to the island. It looked like if we had waited the full hour and a half that trick-or-treating was happening, we might have gotten to the first station, which was really kind of sad. So thankfully, we had done the party the night before and had more candy than we could take home with us. So we just skipped that and did the dance party. They had free face painting, which was fun, a few character meet and greets. So it's really neat. It's a great option for free. I mean, it's built into your resort. So if you're not doing anything, the kids are in costume and it's a lot of fun. So, and I know DVC had an event this year that I did not hear about until it was too late and it was sold out but that was something at the Contemporary, I think $20 or something, relatively reasonable for like a several hours long event, but we'll have to ask somebody else about that.
Now, if you've stayed at hotels over Halloween, for any of our listeners, definitely send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know how, what the resort did. I'd be interested to see how much better the party might be at the deluxe resorts as opposed to the value, or maybe even vice versa.
I'd be interested to know as well what happened at each of the resorts, because maybe there's a system, so to speak, or maybe it's completely random for Halloween.
I almost want to say it's going to be random just because I think it's based on whoever's running the hotel. But yeah. I can't imagine Disney letting it go that independently. But yeah,
well,
who knows?
And Halloween happens every year. You know, the Ride It Out teams, they have to get volunteers and they, you know, maybe have a few days notice. But Halloween, they've got the whole year to plan for. So I bet you're right.
We know Magic Kingdom's having a Halloween party and it's the one that sells out right away. Does anything happen at any of the other resorts? I have no idea.
Well, I looked last year because we were going to be there for Halloween, and I didn't know that the resorts did something. And the response, because I was actually asking some of our Florida Plunge friends, like, is there a mall that my kids could go trick-or-treating at? You know, something. And everyone suggested Fort Wilderness. As we've heard from Charlotte and from other people, for Halloween and Christmas, they go all out. Tons of inflatables and lots of lights and lots of trick-or-treating. And apparently that's a lot of fun. So that's something we need to do.
And to be clear, that's the people staying at Fort Wilderness.
Right. Yes, exactly.
That's not the park itself. Or that's not the cast members setting it up. And it's a really, really cool thing.
Right. Do the other parks do anything? I don't think so.
The villains, whatever the dessert party at the studios. We're not villains people. So that was actually going on while we were there. But I think it's through January. So I don't think that's Halloween specific. Otherwise,
yeah, nothing really major.
No.
I was just wondering if, you know, it's trick or treat when you walk into Animal Kingdom. I have no idea. I've never been there on Halloween.
I got to imagine each of the parks has some type of little thing, at least to recognize the holiday, whether it's some pumpkins hanging out or they're feeding the animals pumpkins, perhaps the elephants are getting pumpkins or
something like that. Yes, Ed, you're absolutely right. That happened. And I don't know if your zoos do that as well. The Zoo Animal Kingdom definitely does. We saw, we were not there until a couple of days after, but we actually saw pumpkins in the bat house area that had bats carved in them. And I'm sure they had, at least at ours, they have similar like treats inside. So sometimes they smash into the pumpkins or, you know, they probably have different activities, but they definitely had done something with the animals.
Okay. Again, Disney does not disappoint.
Exactly.
Never.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, let's move on to the topic. And a fan of ours, a listener, wrote in and he wrote such a great email. I wrote him back asking for his address so I could send him a couple buttons. I also asked him if he had a show idea to throw it our way. And the show idea he came up with was great. Okay, so we got this great response back from Michael Johnson. And Mike's from Augusta, Georgia. So it's a shame we missed Charlotte tonight because she would definitely be interested in this. Mike wrote back, I would love to know what ride you would bring back if you could, like Horizons, Mr. Toad, World of Motion. You get the idea. I would bring back Horizons, says Mike. Always love that ride. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a great ride. But that was such a great idea Mike had that we decided to kind of do that among our hosts tonight. And so what we're going to do is come up, each of us, with one of the rides that we really dearly miss at Walt Disney World. And it's not a matter of I think we'll be able to bring it back as much as that we just really do miss it. And what we'll do after each person goes, we'll go between the three of us and decide, you know, was that really the better thing to do to lose that attraction and bring the new one in? Or perhaps they should have stayed with the old one.
What were the rides that he just mentioned? Because I say yes to all of those. I think he said Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. He said World of Motion. He said Horizons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with him.
He made a list for us right there.
I know.
I'm actually not sure how helpful I'll be. So maybe I'll just be the other voice in the conversation, because I was looking at all the extinct attractions. And of course, I've been doing the Disney nerd thing, reading all this stuff and knowing and watching old videos and hearing all the discussions. But I didn't, all these super beloved rides, I never rode. Like, I rode Mr. Toad first in Disneyland. And at that point, I was like, it's all right. And there's so many attractions and shows and rides that I would have loved to have seen. Like, I would give anything to see the Skyway above the lands, or to see America Sings, however cheesy it might have been. But I didn't get to ride any of those. So I'm not going to necessarily be a great vote, but I say bring them all back because I'd like to see them.
Okay. Well, that sounds good, Jen. So I tell you what, let me start, and I'm going to go with one of the rides that I really dearly miss.
Start and go second and go third and go fourth if you want me to.
Well, that's true. I know. And we'd be going on all night because I do have a number. However, one of the ones I miss the most has to be 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So even though Mike had a great list of attractions that are now gone and we really do miss, I really miss 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
So what is it about 20,000? What is it for you?
To me, it was the whole idea of buying into it as a kid and knowing I was underwater, knowing that I was cruising around in the submarine. It was just a great show. They sold it so well with just you getting into the submarine and closing the hatch and supposedly sinking underwater with the bubbles going up past you, that it was great. I mean, I just was totally, totally immersed in that. And to be honest with you, I really enjoyed just even seeing that ride. The attraction was a beautiful setting. You had that beautiful crystal clear water and the tropical setting around it. Very cool. And then you had those really cool steampunk submarines in the middle of it all. And, you know, I was probably – the last time we saw it, I was on my honeymoon, and we were actually cruising over it. It was closed at that time, and that was in I want to say that was in 87 or
– So cruising over it as in the Skyway to Tomorrowland buckets is what you're
correct,
talking
correct. About. And actually, that was 93 because that was the birthday cake year. Now,
is it still operating at that point? Because 20,000 Leagues went under
an
extremely long seasonal closure that lasted years.
It wasn't, and that was in October. The previous Christmas, we had gotten on it. So it was open that previous Christmas, and I think it was that spring when it went under repair or went down, and that was it. That was the infamous – it went down for repairs and just never came back. Now, saying that, do I think it was the right thing to do? And to be honest, if it was the same as it was in Disneyland now, I'd say no, of course. But considering what the ride was and how many times it was down and considering how many attractions they have there today
– yeah.
I got to say that was probably the best move is to remove it.
It was a lot of real estate. Although they didn't know what was going to come there at the time when they closed it, right?
True.
For years it was the Winnie the Pooh playground. A very
right.
small piece of
sure.
that.
A little meet and greet, the playground. But considering what we have now, we have a piece of the Beer Guest area. Mm-hmm. We've got the Seven Dwarfs.
Basically all of Seven Dwarfs, my train.
We've got the Ariel's Adventure, the inside Ariel, a Little Mermaid ride behind there also. And the whole pathway getting down to Storybook Circus. Yep. So, yeah, that was probably a good move. I still miss it, though. You know, one of the big reasons I want to get to Disneyland is to get back on that.
To get on the Finding Nemo submarine voyage.
Right. Which, okay, granted, it's Finding Nemo. It's not going to be the same thrill. Oh, and that was the other side of it. 20,000 Leagues. That was an incredible movie. And I went to the parks in 76 and then again in the 80s. And growing up in that time when before the VCR tapes, that was always a great movie to see either at school or on TV. That was always like the 4:30 movie in the afternoon.
I have to say, as somebody who didn't watch the movie and didn't ride the ride here, I'm glad it's in Disneyland because I definitely, I think I've mentioned this before, understand exactly what you're saying. I expected it to sort of be not very believable, not that exciting because it is an older ride, but it's still, even as an adult, it feels like you're going underwater and it's very, very cool. So I understand the affection people have for that, but I agree. I think New Fantasyland, it was a good trade-off.
Tim, what do you think, Sam? Was it a good thing to let it go or do you think it should have stuck around?
Well, I'm with the same logic that you have. I would have liked to have seen it stay longer than it did, but what we have in its place today, I like much better than what it was.
Right.
And there's always that, well, we can go to Disneyland and ride it if we want to. Right?
I wish it was that easy.
But I understand that, but it's still over there. I did ride the original 20,000 Leagues. I'd been on it multiple times as a youngster. And you're right. It did sell you on the fact that, hey, they closed the hatch. Now we're going down. Look at these bubbles coming up. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a great ride.
Oh, sure. And they got you. The Imagineers did it right. The forced perspective of you having your face smashed against that window really did not let you see anything else except what was straight out there in front of you. And they planned for that.
You can only imagine what was on the other side. Absolutely nothing, I'm sure.
Well, so that was a little flashback. Sam, why don't you give it a shot?
Are you really going to hold me to one?
Let's go with one. We'll see how it goes after that.
Well, because I have an attraction – and I have something else.
Well, we are going with attractions. We could perhaps do this again with something else.
No, we'll do it after the attraction with somebody else. Something else. How's that sound?
Let's go.
So we've talked about this, I think, before. And World of Motion was mentioned. And everyone immediately thinks I'm going to jump over to Imagination and Dreamfinder in the original. And absolutely, I love that ride and that attraction because the original was nothing like it was today, right? But to our listeners' comments, I had something for World of Motion that I absolutely loved. There was something about this nostalgic trip or journey through the history of transportation in its whimsical way that it was presented. If you never had a chance to ride it, think Spaceship Earth, but now this is the history of transportation. And you had the one scene, which was the traffic jam and everybody beeping at each other. And for me, it was World of Motion.
Now, that footprint is what now?
That is Test Track now. Mm-hmm. So when you look back at it and you say, okay, is it better today than it was? I could go either way on this because we know that Epcot needed a thrill ride of some sort. And ultimately, that's what we got. We got Test Track, which was the first thrill ride in that park. Hard to believe that over 20 years later, almost, because that was supposed to open in 96, but it was delayed and delayed and delayed. We're still only one real thrill ride at Epcot. Now we know there's some rumors that there might be another thrill ride on that side of Future World in the future where Ellen is now. But I think it was the right thing to do. A World of Motion is what I'd go for.
Gotcha. Nice one. Very cool.
Now, that said, that's because you forced me into an attraction. I have to go down what I have all the notes written out in front of me for. And that is the one thing, and Jen, you're going to be with me on this one, I think, that I absolutely miss, but we cannot yet call out the future. I absolutely missed Star Wars Weekends 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I absolutely, now we don't know what's going to come because it's going to be better, but Star Wars Weekends, for the years that it ran, Hollywood Studios was turned into really partly a conference, an exhibit of all things Star Wars. Everything from celebrity guests, the 501st Legion, and the parade that would come down Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah. That was absolutely amazing, the number of stormtroopers and rebels and the Jedis and the things that you would see. The hyperspace hoopla. Absolutely incredible. Being able to see Mickey, Jedi Mickey, and Darth Vader Goofy, yeah, and James Arnold Taylor, and the celebrities. And I absolutely just, I want Star Wars Weekends back. But I will give Disney the benefit of the doubt. We don't know what's coming yet. We're building the Star Wars experience or whatever it's going to be. I only hope that it's better. But man, if you were ever able to go to Star Wars Weekends, you know what I'm talking about. I absolutely love the Star Wars Weekends.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
But isn't every day Star Wars Weekends now at Hollywood Studios?
It's not, because there's no parade. There's no they do have the huge
– the stormtroopers marching in.
Yeah. We're talking a parade that lasted 15 minutes versus, you know, a dozen of Captain Phasma's clone troopers.
Oh, sure. Now, this is one of John's pet peeves too right now, is that they really haven't – given the justice to Star Wars Weekends to any of the Star Wars entertainment they've gotten in the parks right now. It just doesn't seem to have reached that peak yet.
It hasn't, but the things that they tested, like the Galactic Breakfast, the
dessert party
that's happening right now.
Right.
All of those things, I'm sure, are going to get worked somehow into the Star Wars experience when that thing's built. But we're never going to have things like Stars of the Saga, where they had Frank Oz on stage and they interviewed him and then asked him about, you know, puppeteering Yoda, and they had all of these different stars. The access was awesome. You could get autographs. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're ever going to get that access again.
Ed, you're absolutely right. You won't get it there at Hollywood Studios, but that would be at a Star Wars celebration, yeah, or something along those lines. That'll be at the Anaheim.
A D23 sponsored thing.
Something like that is where you get it. Because that's kind of what it felt like. You'd get your map when you walked into Hollywood Studios, and there were the different things you could do, and it was almost like picking your breakout sessions. And then you'd come back for the general session, which was the hyperspace hoopla, or it was something else happening. But it was really cool.
Always sorry I missed it. The thing that I want to point out, too, is how many people complained to Disney that they weren't Star Wars fans and they couldn't do anything at the park on the weekend that they paid a lot of money to go to Walt Disney World for. Not saying that was an idea that stopped the whole process, but I think that might have come into the idea, especially now they're going to the full Star Wars branding at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, because you have the other side of that coin. So when this is all said and done, which we don't know what it's going to look like, you can point people to the Star Wars experience, or you can point them to Toy Story Land, or you can point them to Muppet Land, or you can point them to all of these things that Hollywood Studios eventually will have. So I can't pass judgment yet.
Right. We only have like, what, 2-3 years?
We'll have Avatar Land first, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see, definitely in the future. Jen, did you want to give one a shot anyway?
I do have some that I miss. I'm with Sam, actually. I have a lot of parades and shows that I miss more, but you know I'm a fan of Wonders of Life, and if I have to pick an attraction, I really loved Cranium Command. Even as a kid who didn't know many of the actors all that well, I geeked out over it, and it's probably why I went into medicine, but loved Cranium Command.
Cool.
That's a great one.
And what was – Oh, I'm drawing a blank on the movie that just came out that was similar to Cranium Command.
Inside Out.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I love that whole pavilion. And to be honest, to use it as a festival center when you have several other empty buildings, I don't think that was the right choice. But
who else? No, definitely not. No.
All it takes is a sponsor, and it will be regenerized.
But you know, there are healthcare companies or insurance. There's somebody that wants to sponsor a pavilion like that.
Disney's got to be stopping it for some reason. Yeah. I disagree with the sponsor thing. Yeah. And just really kind of in the same vein, since it's right next to it, think about the entire interventions area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the deal? Now, I'm sorry to do this little pit stop here, but I do want to mention this before it goes away because it's not really a whole show topic. I walked through interventions and there was almost nothing in there anymore. They have the colors exhibit, the colors attraction, and they had the video games. And that was about it. What did I miss? And the character meet and greet. But on Interventions East and West, it is basically all curtains. What the deal?
So the Interventions side closest to the land is starting to see some interesting meet and greets created. Now, I don't know if that's where they'll be long term, but that's where Inside Out is. That's where Baymax and Hero are. The other side, Adam, absolutely with you. There's not much in there at all. I mean, No. That's where I went to get my for food and wine. That's where they were giving away the tumblers to annual pass holders.
The tumblers are so nice.
They are. And thanks for mentioning that. A shout out to the Thiels. Hey, guys, down in Orlando, met up with us on our trip in October. I got my glass. Nice. Awesome. Thank you.
But that said, when you think about that section, and I'll take a pit stop too, since we have a little bit of time and you started it. See, you started it. If we know that Ellen's Energy Adventure is short-lived. It's going to be closing because of some new reimagined attraction.
See, I disagree with that, but go ahead, keep going.
Well, but that's what they're saying, right?
I know.
It's short-lived. So if that reimagination could be leveling it, and if they do, there could be a lot of room there, and possibly that whole area to the left – when you're headed towards Mission Space, that whole area over there, there could be something happening. It might not just be that attraction is what I'm saying.
Right. But that's what, 5 to 10 years down the road? I can't see it being anytime soon.
It will be before 2021. I think when you think about everything that Disney's
five
doing.
5 years?
Avatar. Well, what's more important in that year? That's Disney World's 50th anniversary. And when you think about it, all of this stuff that's happening, rumored to happen, it's all going to be ready for a huge celebration in 2021. Avatar Land, Star Wars Experience, Toy Story Land, all of that stuff's going to be up and running.
Now, here's a pit stop on the pit stop. When we get to the 50th anniversary, is that going to be a 50th for the Magic Kingdom? Or is that going to be all-encompassing Walt Disney World, considering Walt Disney World wasn't there? Only the Magic Kingdom was there 50 years ago on that date.
I'm with you, but the 45th was Walt Disney World's 45th that we just celebrated, right?
Well, but there's nothing outside of the Magic Kingdom.
But it is the beginning of Walt Disney World as we know it, so you could go either way.
True.
Disneyland's 60th was celebrated at California Adventure.
But the 50th is worldwide. So
exactly, and it was celebrated in – either way, I think that all of this construction – we are in a very exciting time is sort of what I'm saying in the history of Walt Disney World. These next 5 years or 4 years, because all this needs to be opened and up and running, and it's absolutely going to be incredible. Which, by the way, now that I'm on it, sidetrack here. When we talk about new things, and I know the last few shows I wasn't on some, there were two things that I noticed new in the parks that absolutely blew me away, and we might have to go back and redo a show. New restrooms.
Yes.
Soarin' and Norway. Absolutely. Yes. Did you notice what they did at Soarin'?
They remade the hallway where the restrooms were
But what was men's and ladies is now all men's, and there's a brand new ladies room on the other side that's twice the size of what it used to be.
I did not see that, but I took pictures.
It's in Soarin', yep.
In Norway, because it is breathtaking for a bathroom. The Norway bathrooms are gorgeous. It's crazy.
In Norway the same way. What used to be men and ladies was redone to be men, and they redid a ladies room. It's like, those two things, two best bathrooms in Walt Disney World now are the two new ones.
That's funny.
Yeah, nice. We have memories of the bathroom down at Soarin'. That was a protein spill for one of the children way back when. Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Still remind them every time we go down there. Now, I tell you what, we do have a couple minutes, and we did talk attractions. I did have a second one. Sam's not the only one that had a list of a number of them.
I got more.
And the other thing I have, and I think we're going to mention it, which isn't an attraction per se, but it's definitely something that I missed dearly, and I don't think they've come up with anything to replace it. And that was the Adventurers Club over at Downtown Disney. And they've so far had a couple things that come close. Trader Sam's over at the Polynesian definitely has the feel of it. I'm sure Abracadabra has a little bit of kind of a feel of it. Yep. To a certain extent, I'm sure the Canteen over in, Adventureland over at Magic Kingdom, a little bit, but nothing like the Adventurers Club. I truly do miss that. That was a place I would go almost every night I was in Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. Head to Downtown Disney just to go to the Adventurers Club. I don't like to really go out to the bars a lot, but that was a different place. That was just a show that you could drink at.
I'm actually.
It was to go into a comedy club, right?
Yeah, we'd go to the comedy club, and we'd always go out to the different bars. The 70s Club was one of my favorites too, but Adventurers Club, no doubt. And it's just such a tease. As you pass by it, it's still there. The front was still there with the planters in front of it.
I actually was not yet of age when it closed, and so I have to miss that as well. Sorry. Well, it's true. It wasn't that I didn't want to go. I just wasn't allowed. But I love the storytelling of the things you mentioned, and so I do wish I could have experienced that. So I'm sure that it was very cool. I love the continuity or the crossover between the different themed restaurants and themed bars and little throwbacks to that. So I think
I would pay for the story of that. The Imagineers coming up with that one. I really would like to hear that story.
My kids were very young at that point. So I was never in Treasure Island when it was a ticketed location. Were you in there at that point, Ed? Or was it after?
I don't remember ever being a ticketed thing.
Okay, because at one point there was a ticket booth and you had to buy a ticket to get onto Pleasure Island.
Oh, I take that back.
Like a cover charge.
I disagree. I do remember that. It was right outside on the bridge before you went across the bridge. Sure. Yeah, no, I do remember that. It was like $13 or something like that. That was also when they had
a cover charge.
They also had New Year's Eve every night though. So they were basically paying for the fireworks. So that was okay.
Yeah, I was never able to do those types of things.
Oh, it was so fun. Yeah. Okay. The flashbacks, the memories. Really, really cool. Good idea, Mike. Thanks for suggesting the show.
I will throw one in too. Jimmy had said that he missed Alien Encounter, which I know there's a lot of hate for Stitch, but I thought Alien Encounter was so terrifying, and I would have been young then too, so maybe I would like it better now, but I doubt it. So say what you want about Stitch, I don't miss it, but I know a lot of people do.
I missed the extraterrestrial. I thought that was a great ride. There were so many hidden things in that other than just the screams and the terror that happened in the dark. Just the pre-show and the whole idea of excess technologies will help you do things easier now. And the whole play on words they had the entire time of the pre-show and inside the theater even. And that was a ride I did scream on. I have no problem admitting that, but I screamed my lungs out when the lights went out and the thing was jumping around on top of everybody and in the rafters. I kind of agree. I think that was a bad change.
I will say that I never experienced it. I think that came up on the show before. At the time, my children were pretty small, and we just didn't see splitting up to do it as opposed to going and hitting something else. So
sure. And I tell you what, as far as the screams go, you still get kids crying in there. It gets dark, and you got Stitch jumping around. Yeah. And they're not hip to the whole idea that Stitch is a good guy.
So. Well, he's not in the attraction. I mean, we don't know that yet. He's pretty terrifying to a kid.
In the attraction itself, I think he's still a great guy. I think he doesn't want to hurt anybody. He proves that by just burping on you as opposed to doing any damage.
True.
And look what he did to the castle.
Oh, my goodness, Stitch.
Well, anyway, I tell you what, guys. Hey, that was a great show. I love doing that flashback type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too. I just made some notes of back to Star Wars weekends if I can.
And even if I don't miss half the attractions personally, I love hearing about them. And I did love looking back and kind of sad looking back at all the parades, like the Stars and Motor Cars and Jam and Jungle Parade. Like, I love parades and you know that. And despite the fact that some people didn't like some specifically, my kids were in Hollywood Studios and in Animal Kingdom, like throughout this last trip and in Epcot. Was there a parade at this park ever? Was there ever a parade at this park? Why is there no parade at this park? I'm like, oh, wow. There used to be parades everywhere, and now they're just
weren't.
There aren't. There's like one. So it's a bummer. I miss that, too.
That is true. You know, the parades kind of have dried up, and all of a sudden, you're right, they're only in one place, starting with Epcot and then Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios.
Yep. You just mentioned six parades and didn't say Spectrum Magic.
Oh, that's my very favorite. That is my number one attraction, but I didn't think parades counted. I still I am still bitter about that. I will not let that one go yet.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It is really tough.
Has Festival of Fantasy got you over it yet? Or is it still?
No, I love Festival of Fantasy, but I would trade every single other parade for Spectro. That was my favorite thing. It was the most special thing at Disney World to me when I was going there originally. So loved it. Miss it. And when people bring it up now and then, I hear every now and then on either podcasts or throughout conversations, oh, maybe they'll bring it back someday. I'm like, they destroyed it. Like, there's no hope for Spectro
Magic.
It caught
on fire.
It kills me.
It was a fire.
So no, I definitely.
So they say.
Too painful, Sam. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I agree with you. Although after seeing Paint the Night in California, I would love to see something like that.
Sure, that'd be great. Okay, guys. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. And again, one more shout out to Mike down in Augusta, Georgia. Thanks again for that idea. It was an awesome one.
Yeah, so fun.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show, send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Stop by our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast, and the Facebook group, Disney Nerds, and say hello. For Sam and Jen, this is Ed. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Kongaloosh.
Going up the street, good. And then you're going to do a motion you're all quite familiar with by now. It's this one. Good. And then you raise up your hand and say, Kongaloosh!
Kongaloosh!
Put it all together. Kongaloosh!
I'll take the sampler pack.
Really? Oh, all right. All right, Colonel. Well, we're preparing that for you. Could you teach these people the song?
Of course I can. I'm the day master, after all. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know the words to this little ditty, feel free to join right in. Bum, ba ba bum, ba ba bum, 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 bum. I love to go swimming with bowling and women and swim between the legs.
Hey!
Between the legs.
Hey!
Swim between the legs.
Wrong song. You know
it's
what?
Called Pour Me a Drink in a Stein or a Glass. Just make sure it's as cold as a well digger's.
Still the wrong song. Now you know.
We aren't making these people be members, are we?
Everybody show Colonel the club salute. One, two, three.
the Ohio State Anthem, if you please. And now, my world-famous pigeon corps will form the official seal of the great state of Ohio on the roof of this building!
Missed. I'll move closer. Maybe that will make it easier. I'm walking in women's shoes, Ezra. Perhaps I'll stop and put on men's shoes and start walking again, huh? There, how's that?
Eat lead, you cross-dresser, you! Right through the heart.
Oh, no. Am I deceased? We'll find out right after this important message for Jinkies.
Amelia Perkins here.
And Otis Wren, about to sit down to our favorite breakfast, a great big bowl of Jinkies.
You know, Professor, Jinkies is the perfect cereal for adventuring.
Sure is, Pamelia, because Jinkies is high in protein, high in fiber.
And when hurled at a high velocity, Jinkies can render an opponent unconscious.
Jinkies is the only breakfast cereal aerodynamically designed with beveled edges.
And combined with its amazing laxative properties,
it's always an adventure when you jump up. Now, as you all know, each year we must renew the lease for the land on which the club is built.
And to fulfill this obligation, each year we must present to the descendants of Chief Hanging Moon 2 raccoon pelts and $2,000.
Yes, and thanks to our current club president, Pamelia Perkins' limited night vision, the raccoon pelts have already been taken care of. She also had 2 squirrels and a manatee. All we need is the cash, and helping us out are 2 of our most loyal employees, Graves, our butler, and Gabby, our maid! Graves will be upstairs manning the telephones to take all your calls, and Gabby will be keeping a running total of all your pledges. Radio Land, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the sheep at sea.
Ships!
And all the sheep on ships. If you were here right now, you would see our lovely maid, Gabby Normal, displaying a rare petrified pterodactyl tibia discovered in the Takamatsu tar pits. For tonight only, this lovely prize can go to the first caller who pledges $500, a ridiculously low amount for such a rare artifact.
Like your